Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some great guests on. In the first half, we have Terry Mudrick, and she is the author of I Can Survive. And in the second half, we are going to listen to The Science of Addiction with Carrie Carlton. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Just a few cups of coffee a day may help slow down the deadly progression of advanced colon cancer, new research finds. Of the nearly 1,200 patients in the study, those who drank four or more cups of Java on a daily basis had 36% higher odds of surviving during the 13-year study period. Study co-lead author Christopher McIntosh said metastatic colon cancer, which has spread from its original location, remains an incurable disease in most cases. He is a fourth-year medical student at the Mayo Clinic School of Medicine in Phoenix. All the participants were part of a larger cancer treatment study conducted between 2005 and 2018. During that time, food and beverage intake was noted. The findings were published online September 17 in the journal JAMA Oncology. The final statistics are in for America's last flu season, and the news is good. Record low rates of influenza were reported as cases plummeted during the early months of the coronavirus pandemic. Why? Researchers from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention believe the social distancing measures put into place across the country last spring kept more than the new coronavirus at bay. The 2019-2020 flu season ended weeks earlier than usual this year, with flu infections declining sharply within 2 weeks of the COVID-19 emergency declaration on March 1st, the new study found. Influenza activity in the United States plunged from about 30% of samples testing positive for flu in early February down to only 2% the week of March 22nd, the researchers reported. The new report was published September 18th in the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Smokers have a significantly raised risk of dying from a bleeding stroke, a new study warns. For the study, researchers analyzed data from over 16,000 same-sex twin pairs in Finland. The twins were born before 1958 and followed for about 42 years, between 1976 and 2018. During the follow-up, there are 120 deaths from subarachnoid hemorrhage. This is a type of bleeding stroke that occurs under the membrane that covers the brain. The median age of death was about 61. Compared to non-smokers, the risk of fatal bleeding in the brain was 3 times higher among heavy and moderate smokers and 2.8 times higher among light smokers. The findings were published September 17th in the journal Stroke. Eyeglasses keep you from tripping over footstools and walking into walls, but they may also have a side benefit to spark envy among those with 20/20 vision. A Chinese study reports people who wear glasses every day might be less susceptible to COVID-19 infection. Dr. Yiping Wei of the second affiliated hospital of Nanchang University and his colleagues speculated eyeglasses might foil COVID-19 infection because they prevent or discourage wearers from touching their eyes, thus avoiding transferring the virus from the hands to the eyes. Eye protection also could potentially reduce the risk of virus-laden airborne droplets contacting the eyes, the study author said in the report published online September 16th in JAMA Ophthalmology.
We are very fortunate today to have author Terry Mudrick with us. She is the author of I Can Survive. She's also an advanced Reiki practitioner, certified access bars, and raindrop therapist, working with energy and helping heal all that happens along the road to life here. So the I Can Survive is a book about their family and their challenges with cancer. Welcome, Terry.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me, Kathy. Definitely my pleasure.
I just got your book in the mail last week, and I was overwhelmed with the amount of research that went into it, as well as the amount of heartfelt stories. So I'd like you just to share with the communities out there what the book was about, how it started. There's many years of information in here.
Well, the first thing, I had two sons. My youngest was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and after going through the typical chemotherapy and radiation, 7 months later, it all came back on him, so the treatments didn't work. And then the second time around, he had a bone marrow transplant, and today he's a survivor and a play-by-play announcer with Montreal Canadiens for TSN. So it's kind of cool from where he's been and has gone. My older son developed bile to liver cancer cholangiocarcinoma, which is a very, very brutal cancer. Most people do not survive past the 3 months, and we were able to get him 19 months. And of the 19 months, I would have to say 16 were really good, high-quality months of life, and he was so grateful. So our story started with, you know, how do you as a mom especially, you know, how do I help these kids? I had taken my aromatherapy. I also was very heavy into oils and herbs and making my own balms and so on and so forth. And it was funny because Marty was kind of the son that was a bit, oh, Mom, I don't know if this stuff works. And, of course, I hounded him about chemicals in his life. And but the day that it happened, and it's so quick with these liver cancers, is that on Friday he ran 5 kilometers. He worked out for an hour in the gym. Saturday he wasn't feeling well. Sunday it got worse. By Monday he was in the hospital with surgery, and the rest was fighting for his life.
Wow.
So quick. So we don't know, you know, what's going on the inside until it happens.
Mm-hmm. And so the resources in this book are really fascinating. But the one thing that comes up, and one resource, is functional medicine. Can you tell us a little bit about the man that taught you so much about functional medicine and what it really means?
Yeah, Corey Dakin. He has his master's in neuroscience, as well as he's got his doctorate in natural health. He was our key man when it came to, you know, helping Marty and to do the testing. And unfortunately, some of this testing, and a lot of it actually, is not available in Canada. So we spent, you know, sent a lot of his samples and so on to different labs in the United States. But that's the difference between functional science, is that they take the tests, whether it's blood tests, urine tests, stool tests, even nose swabs and so on, and they really dig deep to see exactly what the cause of the cancer is. In Marty's case, we found out it was the Citrobacter fudi bacteria, which had become way out of control, penetrated his intestinal, and it is very much known. Research has shown that it is known for the liver, the bile, the pancreatic, and the gallbladder cancers. So that's functional science. It's digging deep, finding the cause versus just treating the symptom.
And it sounds like you had much heartfelt support, as well as just science, come through this working with Corey.
Yes. You know, Corey became, well, Corey was a good friend prior to, because he worked a lot in our circles of natural healing. And so I got to know Corey prior to, and of course the day that Marty, it was actually a Saturday night when we decided that, you know, we were going this way, and gave Corey a call, and he was on it. And he's just one of those, he calls himself the geeky scientist, but honestly, the research that, you know, between the two of us, anything that I could find, I would throw at him, and he would research it deeper, and, you know, we would follow up and back and forth. And, of course, with his knowledge as well, that is over the roof amazing. Marty was, you know, just, I'm going to say, so blessed with all that's out there in the last 5 years that probably, well, I know it was not there when my younger son battled. I wish we would have had that, but I'm grateful for the changes in the so many new, I can't call them treatments because they're more like therapies, because of the natural, background to them, that was why I wrote the book, was because so many people were coming to us and saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? And so I sort of wrote the book in 3 stages. The first stage was when Marty was still alive, and, you know, and then also what we found out through Marty's cancer is that Brian's, needed to really look into his DNA because of all the chemo and radiation that he had received. We needed to make sure that his DNA was not damaged, and when we did the research and did the testing, it was. So we've spent the last 2.5 years dealing with getting Brian healthy from all the chemicals that were, you know, put into him over the cancer.
Yeah. In the diagnosing, you've done a lot for Northern Alberta, for anyone else who comes up against cancer. You've raised a lot of money with your friends and your family. Can you tell us a little bit about how you did that and where the energy came from at such a time? This is over 15 years, I think, that you worked this.
Excuse me, for sure. You know, that was my son, my younger son, who decided, when he left the Cross Cancer Institute in Edmonton, just about 18, 19 years ago, and he was in a wheelchair. His story is in the book, but he turned around. He said, just stop a minute, Mom. And we had just spent 6 grueling, grueling weeks in the hospital in a isolation room, saw nothing, and just watched him pain through the entire process of a bone marrow transplant. And when he stopped there and he turned around and he looked at me and he looked at the whole hospital and he said, Mom, one day we're going to raise $1 million for this hospital. Mm-hmm. And I was like exhausted. And of course I just said, sure, Brian, sure, we'll do that.
Great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I never thought anything would come out of it. And then that following year, he didn't let me forget as he got better and stronger and, you know, got into his radio and, well, into his television and, of course, with CTV and TSN. And it just grew and grew and grew to be a Canadian-wide, a charity, because we raised, in the end, $1.8 million. Which ended up getting us the Philanthropy Award in 2015, I believe, in 2017, which was such an honor. And we raised it for equipment, so it was something to help others. The lineups were so crazy for, you know, like even just a CAT scan or whatever. So all of our monies went into equipment at the Cross Cancer Institute. Where the energy came from, I think it was just the passion of helping others.
Isn't that fascinating? And it really puts Edmonton on the map for going to centers like that for help and healing. So, and then you decided that there was ways, chapter one is the beginning, leaky gut. And that sounds like the beginning of a lot of things. What have you learned about our digestion and elimination as far as staying well?
You know, leaky gut can be caused by so many things. And it's one of my favorite topics because it all starts in the gut. And if we are so poisoned, I have a Facebook page called I Can Survive, the same as the book. And actually, the other day I was trying to make pizza, and this is just where it starts, and looking for a good cheese. So a good, healthy cheese should only have like 3 or 4 ingredients, basically your cream, your milk, your bacterial culture, and maybe one more enzyme. But when you look at cheese today and you read the ingredients, there's probably 8 or 9 or 10. Most of it is all chemically induced. So the process of our stomachs trying to process all of these unnatural, unhealthy foods create what can be a leaky gut. Now, you add stress to that, and you add the chemical toxins that are around us in our shampoos, for women, for example, by the time we start in the morning with our makeup, you know, showers, into the sink, washing dishes, all the cleaning we do, we can be in touch with 518 or more chemicals every single day. And that, of course, it attacks our liver. And so the leaky gut is so important to make sure that we, number one, chew properly, those big pieces that go down with our quick eating, something the bad bacteria is very, very happy to see and receive. Our gut flora is 85% good bacteria, 15% bad. And when that bad gets out of whack, it becomes a problem. And so the same, the Citrobacter that I was talking about, also causes a lot of your urinary tract infections, and many women suffer from this and have no idea why. Like, they go to the doctors and they get their antibiotic or whatever, and, you know, sometimes several months it comes back and so on. That is the actual behind-the-scenes criminal that causes it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as it keeps going out, it gets worse and worse. So our bacterias are so important. That's why I really recommend probiotics or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Terry, we're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about how essential oils can help clean up the home and be used in so many ways to help healing.